This is Shane Warne. Make sure you plough on.
Do plough and CC. Plough on, guys. Take too much.
No, we didn't win the league by accident. We did that by design. It was very much planned.
I just try to get it in the right spot, really, and see what happens.
He said to me, mate, I really think you should put your lid on. Next ball, Bolney bouncer. We've been for six. So.
This club is beyond cricket.
Plough's cricket is the greatest club in the world.
Hi, my name's Liam, and together with Matt, who I'm here with today, we make up one of the greatest fast bowling partnerships in cricketing history. Matt, hello, thanks for coming. What have we got in store for our listeners today?
Hello, yeah, thank you very much for the glowing welcome. We're recording on a Wednesday this week, slightly different, probably because of the bank holiday, but we've still got an absolute bumper podcast coming up for you. We're coming off the back of a five-game weekend, so we've got five games to go through. Unfortunately, two losses on the Saturday, one loss on the Sunday, but two wins, including what I think we're billing as one of the greatest games ever. And then obviously we've got all your usual fancy updates, Sledge of the Week, Who Said It, etc., etc. So let's crack on.
Our much anticipated first Premier League game of the season saw us travel with a really strong outfit down into Surrey, somewhere near Kingston, I believe, to play against St. Luke's, who won the championship in 2019. So they're the most recent title holders, for a game in which was always going to be a good test for us. Who was captain?
Yep, so Captain Tiz took, like you said, a big strong team down to Kingston Uni Sports Ground, which was a lovely ground to play at, in very good condition.
And who batted first?
So they only had four players at the toss, which meant that Captain Tiz enforced the toss, and we put them into bat on what looked a nice green wicket. Definitely, I think, the right call to have a bowl first. So we put them in.
Big outfield down there as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
How many did they manage to put up as a total?
So, yeah, they were 199 all out. I think they were ran out for the last wicket on the last ball of the innings. They had lost an over, so they only faced 44 overs because they were late. So we were chasing 199 off our 45.
And did that look like a doable... Given the batting lineup we had, did that look like a doable run chase?
It did. We had quite a lot of batting there, and it looked certainly something that we were capable of. But it was always going to be tough. Like you said, it was a big boundary and a big outfield, so that sort of that four ball, that get out shot, wasn't always going to be there. But it was certainly something that I certainly backed us to chase when we were coming off.
Quickly run us through the notable contributions.
So with the ball, Adam Barraclough was the absolute star. He took 4 for 44, despite the fact he broke his finger in the warm-up. I think it was pretty clear when he did it that he'd already broken it, but he said he'd strap it up and try and play on. He managed to bowl, took four wickets, and was excellent, really.
Yeah, Barras, he doesn't get asked to bowl every week, depending on the side that we've got out, depending on what the setup is, the conditions. And so it's quite hard in that sense to build up any rhythms throughout the season. But whenever he's called upon, he always, always delivers with the ball. And no surprise to anyone, really. Bowled straight through, bowled a really tidy spell down there. And we love to see it, really.
Yeah, he did really well. And Max also took 3 for. So big mention to him. He stepped up with the ball as well. In what was, I think, an okay bowling performance. Not our best, but we did okay. We did enough, I think.
Yeah, and the fielding was pretty good down there as well on the whole.
Not a bad day out from the fielding side.
First game back. Notable contributions with the bat?
So Fred Gumpert hit 40-odd. Max Gumpert, the two brothers at the end, tried their best. Max finished on 65, not out. Unfortunately, because of the rain, we basically got scuppered. We needed, I think it was 46 off six overs with Fred and Max in, and they were cruising, they were on top, and they were bringing that rate right down. Unfortunately, the hail came, took us off for three overs, and we just couldn't quite get over the line with the revised total. Much darker, very hard to keep the rhythm and the momentum that we had going. So, I mean, there's absolutely no faulting anyone out there, but we just didn't quite get over the line.
Yeah, and the outfield was wet after that hail, so the ball didn't run away the same. The pitch was wet, so there was a bit more in it. Really exciting finish, though. six required off the last ball?
Six needed off the last ball. Unfortunately, we couldn't quite get there, so we lost by four runs in the end. But like I said, not the fault of any of the batsmen, really. It was just, maybe we were a bit slow to start with, but I don't think it was easy out there by any stretch. And we were, you know, if it hadn't have rained, if it hadn't have hailed, I think we'd have paced that perfectly.
Yeah, absolute heartbreaker. And competitive throughout, really. So in a big test, I think there's a lot of positives to take away from that one. Anything else worth mentioning before we move on?
No, just that, like you said, there were positives and we go again this Saturday.
Sanitising every six overs is a lot.
Yeah, that definitely made the game go on longer. Maybe if we hadn't had to have done it so regularly, we might have got the game done before the hail came, but you never know. And that's just one of those things that we're going to have to put up with in the league.
On the same day, Chris Evans took an incredibly strong-looking Saturday second side down to Mitcham. So let's have a look next at what happened there.
So, like you said, Chris Evans took the mighty Ploughman Saturday second 11 down to Mitcham. Tell us, who batted first?
So Ploughman's batted first on a famous cricket ground, allegedly the oldest cricket ground in the world, from what I understand. There's plenty about that on the internet, anecdotes, and in their clubhouse, and apparently it's an amazing place to play. Ploughman's have posted a pretty tidy 195 all out in 40 overs.
Okay, nice. And then how did they get on? What was the end result?
End result was 4-wicket loss. Mitcham getting over the line there with, I think, a few overs to spare.
Cool. And any notable contributions from the boys?
Yeah, absolutely. Tom Lane, who's in a great bit of form. We'll come on to him. We'll mention him again later in the pod. Hit a blistering 67. Iskander, he's constantly adding to his runs total for the season. He's hit 27. Ollie Lonsdale with the ball, 2 for 19. And Niraj again with the ball, 2 for 33. I've been told by a number of sources who were at the ground that day that Ollie bowled like an absolute weapon.
Yeah, that's the word that's being thrown around. Apparently his opening spell was blistering. It's really, really nice to see him transfer some of that early season net form out onto the pitch.
I guess the other notable thing about Saturday was an attempt at a bit of a social, socially distanced social after the game. Two Saturday teams playing in a similar kind of part of the world. So we had a plan to meet up after the game, reflect on the day. Can you tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, so obviously at the moment, it's very difficult to just wander into a pub when there is potentially up to 22 of you who will want to go for a beer. So a plan was formed in which we could all meet at Morden Cricket Club, halfway between the two. Friends of the show, Morden Cricket Club. Max and Fred obviously used to play there before when they were younger. And you know, they're a great group of guys and it's a good place to go for a beer afterwards.
I just want to make it very clear at this point that any socialising that has been done after the games has been in line with government social distancing. The right distance has been kept between the individuals involved. The individuals have stayed to the correct groupings as advised by the government. Bit of a mix-up there. Max, he'd sorted that out that we could go down there and get some tables of six outside Morden Cricket Ground. Bit of a mix-up from what I can understand was 100% Max Gumpert's fault. Meant that the clubhouse was closed by the time we'd finished. Morden packed away for the day. And so we ended up in a poorly lit public car park somewhere in the Morden region. Stood outside, drinking tins of beer, sat on the ground.
Exactly. I mean, it's not everyone's ideal Saturday night, but it did the job. And, you know, we live and learn, and fingers crossed in future. If the harvester didn't shut at 8, we might have had somewhere more appropriate to go, which is a sentence I never thought I'd say. But that's just the times that we live in.
And who closes at 8? What even is that? Anyway, that covers off Saturday quite nicely. We've got three games on Sunday that we'd like to move on to now. So let's move on to Sunday and find out what's happened there. One of our three games on Sunday just gone is against the unusually named I Don't Like Cricket Club. I think they might have featured on our podcast once before. Matt Bolshaw, who was captain for this game?
So this was captained by Simon Carson, club captain and usual Sunday club captain. These guys took on I Don't Like CC on the pitch nearest the DSG bar, luckily for them. And I think Simon won the toss and Plowman's decided to bat first.
Great location, that, right next to the bar. What was the score? Early season wickets. We've got three teams out, so players are going to be spread across them. Maybe expecting, I don't know, maybe not expecting too many high totals.
You'd expect that, but Plowman's batted first and rocked up 252 for 5 off their 35 overs. So by no means a bad score at all, really. You'd take that in a 50-over game, let alone in a 35-over game.
That's a serious score. Proper batting performance, that is. So who contributed with the bat?
So with the bat, we had another half century from Max, carrying on his form from Saturday. He ended up with 78 before getting out LBW. Other run scorers, Big Bob Keogh, this is the year, 42 not out, anchoring the innings from number 5. And then a couple of 30s for Tom Lockhart, always good to see him in the runs, and 33 for Paul Hines as well.
Fantastic total. All looking good at the halfway stage, but by no means done. Who won? What was the final score?
Yeah, so we say 252 off your 35 is a great score, but unfortunately the boys lost by 4 wickets in the end. Wickets kind of shared round. There was 2 for Max and 1 for Daniel Rumford, David Nielsen Scott and Lewis Wilby, who was wearing an absolutely beautiful shiner on one side of his face. But yeah, unfortunately the guys just couldn't get over the line. I think we lost it to a 6 with about 3 overs to go. So a good score and a good day out, and by all means I understand a few jugs were shared with the oppo, so I think another game played in the right spirit really.
Yeah, and it's a valiant effort all round from what I've made out and from what I've been told, and as you've outlined there, I think it was a pretty good day out on the whole. Obviously a bit disappointing to not to get over the line when all of those runs have been scored in the first innings. But that's the game. We love it. Is there anything else that we need to cover off for this one? Or is it time to move on?
I think it's time to move on to our other game, which took place on the Hollies against Battersea Ironsides.
So our second of 3 Sunday games, also played at home, as we mentioned, was played on the Hollies. Who was captain?
So yeah, Grant took charge of this one. He was in charge over on the Hollies, who also won the toss and also decided to bat first.
Hollies on the 2nd of May, beginning of the season. I can imagine it was quite green. Once again, we've got players spread over 3 teams. I imagine it's quite challenging to put up a big total.
Once again, Liam, your imagination fails you. The boys did really well, 273 for 7 off of what I think was 40 overs, not 35. But yeah, they hit 270 odd, which is an unbelievable achievement. Only 7 down as well. Big runs right from the off. Really aggressive start from James Sully, who hit 81. Tom Lane with another 50. Surrey adding another 50 runs to his total. He's in some really good early season form.
Boom, Surrey, another 50, 2 in 2 weeks. I'm not that good at maths, so I'm not that good at counting, but I make that about 170 runs in 2 weekends.
Yeah, he's off to an absolutely belting start. Really good nick. This new baby honeymoon period is really working well for him.
So 273, were we able to defend this one?
Yeah, we did. We won this one by 71 runs, so quite convincing in the end. There was 2 wickets for Nigel, 2 for Captain Grant, and 2 for Rahul on his debut for the Plough. So well done to him.
Awesome to see some different names in there as well. Rahul, official new member for 2021. So that's really exciting. Great to see him in the wickets. Were there any other highlights from that day? Obviously, that's a fantastic win. Any other highlights?
Yeah, so a fantastic win, but we have spoken with the skipper and he's sent through a few of his personal highlights, one of which was new boy Rahul walking out to the middle without any gloves. Promptly had to go running back for them. Not easy to bat without batting gloves these days.
Is it even legal to bat without batting gloves?
I think you can bat without gloves if you wanted to, but I don't know who would.
I'm not sure if you can. Oh, write in and let us know. Yeah, either way, it's a pretty brazen approach.
Yeah, Surrey also giving Grant a bit of grief, telling him that he's going to get his wife on him, saying, why aren't you opening the batting with me? And also just one last shout out to Ollie Tennant, who featured last week after, or maybe it was the week before, anyway, scored 40-odd in his only second game of cricket. He's now picked up his first wicket for Plough as well. So shout out to Ollie. Well done, mate.
Brilliant work. Love to see it. I just love the imagery of Grant mid-game receiving that phone call from Surrey's wife.
Why isn't he opening?
Excellent. So great victory there. A great win. Lots of good performances all round. And the two teams that were playing at home finished and came together to watch the finale of the third Sunday game, which was played away at Twickenham. As we found out last year, very exciting thing about playing Twickenham away, their matches are live streamed on YouTube, so you're able to watch it live. It's still up there now if you want to watch any of that game. We're going to talk about it in a little bit more detail. It's been described by numerous people as one of the best games of cricket they've ever played in their life.
So as we've said, this is potentially one of the greatest games that Plowman's has ever seen. It was up on the telly. There was so much chat flying around on the WhatsApp group from guys not playing who couldn't be there, but were watching at home on the telly, Chromecasting it, doing whatever.
Being watched by an audience which could accurately be described as all around the world.
Yeah, I know that, and we'll come on to this, but DeRay's family were watching back home in South Africa, in Port Elizabeth, I believe, potentially even Durban.
Chris Silverpool watching live at God knows what time in the morning from Melbourne in Australia.
Everyone watching all around the world. I was sending links to a few of my friends being like, look, Plowman's are on telly, all of this. So it's a really good thing that Twickenham do. So I think everyone looks forward to that fixture. But let's get into the details of the game itself, because it wasn't just special because it was on the telly. Tell me, first of all, who was in charge of this game?
Logan Cassin took a very strong side, especially considering we had three sides out that day, to Twickenham to play on a fantastic pitch against what is a high-quality opposition. They are no slouches. And I think we beat their third team, don't quote me on this, in a close game last season or the season before. And I think there was some suggestion that they'd put out a stronger team against us next time we come up there. So we really were playing against a high-quality outfit opposition.
Tell me what happened. Who batted first?
Plowman's batted first.
And did it go to plan, would you say, initially?
I would say it absolutely... Oh, no. It didn't go to plan at all. I think we were something like 20 for 3 after the first 10 overs. So it looked like we were in all kinds of bother, I think is the best way to describe that.
Yeah, definitely. It did not go to plan from the outset. Just looking at it now, we were in fact at one point 91 for 7. It's probably as bad as it got. But one of the most special things that I've certainly watched on the telly, it felt very Ben Stokes-like, then proceeded to happen before our eyes. I mean, I didn't watch the whole thing, but the one bit I did see was a young man called DeRay Pretorius come to the crease. And I did think early on, just watching him, thought, he looks on here. There was no rustiness. He was like 10 off 10 balls or something, and he looked good. So, Liam, describe a bit to me what happened next.
DeRay's a fantastic cricketer. He can bat, he can bowl. He's amazing in the field. He hasn't played that much for us in recent times. So for a lot of the newer players, they won't even know who he is. And he's come in, and he's a destructive batsman anyway. And he's had a day out. He finished on a score which is still waiting confirmation, some scorebook clarifications. He's hit an innings total, which I believe was 169 not out, which for context is the second highest score in Plowman's Cricket Club history.
Also, this was in a 35 over game and he was batting at number 5, so he's had less than that to even less overs than 35 to even get going in this game.
And wickets were falling around him, so he had to bat with various other members of the tail, let's say. And there was a fantastic stand here with Archie, 0 runs. Archie, who's a decent batsman in his own right. Partnership of 95, which is a Plowman's record for the 9th wicket, and also might be a record for the most ball duck. But this is just, it's one of those moments. And Duray's done it before. He did it at Croydon in the league in 2018, where he's got a bat with the tail and somebody just needs to stick around with him. And if you can do that and he's in that mood, he will do the rest. And he absolutely blazed the ball to all parts of the ground. He said to me after the game that as the bowler was running in, he knew there are 4 places this can go. And as the bowler let go of the ball, he decided in that moment which one he was going to hit it to. And he just smashed it all around the ground. There's a certain moment in the game where he's planted what decent looking ball seems to be moving away. And he's just planted it into the sight screen so hard that it smashed a hole through the sight screen. So for the remainder of the video,
you can see that live on YouTube. Please do if you have a spare moment. I know some of the boys on sort of Bank Holiday Monday were sat at home watching it for their evening entertainment. I'd highly recommend you do it because it was, like Liam described, it was an absolute day out for Duray. And I think just collectively, we couldn't be more proud of him. It's been a long time coming for him. I think that might be his first ton. And boy, did he go to town with it. So well done, mate. Absolutely phenomenal innings. But there's 2 innings in a cricket match. Liam, what happened next? So we'd put 236 on the board. What happened in the second innings?
So, as I mentioned before, this is a really strong side we're playing against. And the opposition, Twickenham, got remarkably close. My understanding is that the game went down to the final over. Skipper Logan Cassin took it upon himself to bowl that final over. And the first ball he bowled went for 6. So I think there was 14 required off the over, 17. And the first ball went for 6. At which point I think some eyebrows were being raised.
How are the nerves?
Proper nail biter. You can read about it in more detail in a match report, which was written beautifully by Fred the Mouse Gumpert. Logan held his nerve. The guys in the field held their nerve. And that's a famous victory. As we said, multiple people on the day who were there and who watched it rate that as one of or the best match of cricket match they've ever been involved in. And that's online. You can go and check it out. We've also going to hear a short amount from Logan, who skipped the team on that day, and a short snippet from Duray, his first ton for the plow. So here's what they had to say about the day.
I'm here with Logan Cassin, winning captain from the away game at Twickenham. 100% win record as captain this season. In percentage terms, how many of your captaining decisions did you absolutely nail on Saturday, on Sunday?
About 80%. I absolutely nailed.
Duray, I've got a couple of questions for you. What went through your mind once you reached 100?
It's really easy from here on in. Seeing the ball pretty big, it was fun. It was just my turn to have a day out, wasn't it?
And one thing that you said to me yesterday was, I am not going to get out. How easy is cricket?
Pretty easy, hey. I think the key part is just watching the ball. And it's about being humble and just accepting that your day will come. And now my day has come and it won't come again for the next 8 years.
Thanks very much, mate. Well played.
So before we move on to our fantasy section, Matt, is there anything else that we need to mention from the Twickenham game?
Yeah, two final things. Obviously, De Rea has hit an absolute mammoth innings, and Logan did his absolute best to try and give De Rea a bit of a break and put him down at fine leg just to rest his legs. But it looks like that Logan has actually picked fine leg on the side of the ground where De Rea had to cover about 500 metres of space, and the poor lad got no rest at all charging around the field. The only other final point is that the game was obviously so exciting that the reason why we can't confirm how many De Rea actually scored is because the lads forgot the scorebook. Moral of the story is, no matter how exciting it gets, the scorebook is fairly useful. So please, please remember them in future.
I wish I was there to see De Rea's face when the skipper's moved him out of gully and moved him to fine leg. We love to see it. And moving on to our fantasy league, let's have a review of the week. Let's have a look how that's gone so far. Who's had the best week this week?
So the best week, pulling them all the way to the top of the table, knocking Trent off the top spot, is our very own Matt Spencer, producer extraordinaire of this podcast, has got himself to the top of the league with his TNT Dynamite. He's sitting pretty on 2,730 points, having amassed 1,627 in the last week, which is pretty much purely down to having Max Gumpert as captain. So good choice from him.
Brilliant. Congratulations, Spence. Well done, mate. Love to see that. The thanks for coming, boys, weighing in on the fantasy as well. So he's done the best that week. He's top of the table. Which player scored the most points?
Yes, I just mentioned him then. Max Gumpert had an absolute stormer of a week, getting a total of 383 points across his two games. So that was three catches, one run out, 143 runs, one not out, five wickets. He has had an absolute stormer of a weekend. So if you didn't have him in your team, that's probably why you're lagging behind.
Well done, Max. I don't think you've surprised too many people with that, but we love to see it.
One final point on Max, who obviously had not only a day out, but he had a weekend out in terms of individual performances. I want to give a shout out to our very own club captain, Simon Carson, who managed to triple captain Max this week and ended up with over 1,000 points for one player, yet still finds himself mid-table in the standings.
I've got a question for you, Simon. What are you doing, bruv?
He's obviously just got a load of people who've not scored any points. One-man team.
He's obviously got me and you in his team. one final thing on the fantasy. De Rea, after his 169 not out on Sunday, dedicated his innings to the 0% of people who've chosen him in their fantasy team so far. I don't think he's available for this weekend coming up, but he's definitely one to watch for the rest of the season because he can bowl. He can bowl, and he's got an awesome pair of hands on him. Could you give us some more tips for the upcoming weekend, please?
Three boys that we've picked out who we think can be your big point scorers are Suri from your Saturday game, David Nielsen-Scott and Tom Lane on Sunday. Both of those guys, well, all three of those guys, in some really good form. So that's our big tips for this weekend. Go well, everyone who has got their fantasy team involved. Right, so time for any other business. Our final segment of the pod. We're going to run through our usual weekly features. So we're going to start with top run scorer and top wicket taker so far this season. So, Liam, who is our top run scorer and what is their tally so far?
Top run scorer is Suri, no surprises there. 173 blistering runs. He tops our run scorer chart right now.
Yeah, Suri on top. And then who is on top when it comes to wickets? Who's got the most poles?
No change at the top of the Castles chart. Lewis Wilby, I think he's on 7 now. So he's coming along nicely.
Lewis Wilby, king of the castle. Right, moving on to Sledge of the Week. Our Sledge of the Week this week is...
Is he dropped from the seconds or promoted from the fours? He isn't a thirds player, that's for sure.
Sledge of the Week, referring to our man found in the wrong team. And then, who said it? Who said it this week is...
I don't know if this is enough interest for pod content, but I've lost 3 games in a row for the Plough now. When was the last time this happened at the greatest cricket club in the world?
Fun fact, that who said it is from the exact same person who was our who said it last week. Keep them coming, mate. Right, next thing we wanted to do was just give a bit of a shout out. We've got some new players in, some new fully subbed up members. So, Liam, we want to give them a shout out. Who are they?
Yeah, so we've got 4 official new members so far of 2021. That's Dan Ramford, Rahul Nair, Damon Greeny, and Justin Cash. Welcome aboard, fellas. Great to have you in.
Yeah, welcome aboard, boys. Hopefully you're listening. Right, our last, penultimate section actually is any correspondence, but this is a very, very short section because no one wanted to speak to us this week. Our mate Ainsley from Australia didn't want to pipe up again and say thanks very much for the fancy tips. Ainsley, if you're out there, you're our number one biggest fan. Please get in touch again, mate.
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show, Ainsley. We'd love to hear from you again. Right, so finally, what's coming up this weekend? After the high of 5 games last weekend, we're just down to 3 this weekend, the usual 3. Liam, you want to tell us about those games?
Yeah, Saturday we're at home against Surrey Warriors. We had a couple of really competitive games against them last season and very close games, I think, very entertaining. So looking forward to welcoming them here. Last week, as we mentioned, very close. So we're looking to kickstart our league campaign with a win. We've got 2 Sunday fixtures.
One of them is against Woking and Horsell. Very popular fixture, regular one. Very nice ground by all accounts. I will be, at the time of recording, I will now be going down to Woking and Horsell to play on Sunday as well. So I'm looking forward to that one. And then our final game.
A rare Sunday performance from yourself there.
Rare, but when I turn up, I like to think I contribute in some way.
Tends to go one of the 2 extremes, doesn't it, when you bowl on Sunday?
I know what you're referring to, and that was a Saturday friendly. Anyway, our final game is against the Dulwich Cricket Club Development 11 across the road from DSG. I think that's a first-time fixture. Liam's nodding.
It is, and from what we're told by our friends at South Bank, friends and rivals, that's going to be a very competitive side. I think they have young players who they're kind of gearing up to go and play at their first team. Some of their first go on to play at a decent level. So I think that'll be a real test. And we've got a good team going out there. But I think, yeah, as I say, that's going to be a tough fixture for sure. It'll be interesting to see what those lads bring.
So that is all for this week. As usual, we want to thank everyone for listening. We want to thank Matt Spencer for his hard work producing and editing this shit show of a podcast. And thanks for coming.
Thanks for coming.
This is Shane Warne. Make sure you plough on.
Stu Plowman CC. Plough on, guys. Take 2 back.
No, we didn't win the league by accident. We did that by design. It was very much planned.
I just try to get it in the right spot, really, and see what happens.
He said to me, mate, I really think you should put your lid on. Next ball, Bolnia bouncer. We've been for 6. So
This club is beyond cricket.
Plough's cricket is the greatest club in the world.